Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Life Investigated podcast today on this 12th of April, 2024. The necessity for 2A. As I read articles quite often, either in the paper or mostly online, I continually see articles posted about homeowners protecting themselves with their firearms that they have purchased and trained with, and people, these scumbags that choose to break into people's houses to steal their goods or to do harm, not expecting that they would be encountered with a armed homeowner. And the homeowner a lot of times comes out to the better, in part because there's the element of surprise. These idiots that break in, because of today's climate, they aren't necessarily thinking so many people will be armed and be trained with a firearm. So what is the necessity of the Second Amendment to a United States citizen? That right and that guarantee to be able to protect yourself is not simply just the matter of being able to own a handgun or a gun, period. It's the matter of self-defense. So we get so stuck on the fact of gun ownership that we forget why we really need the gun ownership. Yes, we should be able to purchase whatever we want to. I agree with that. But what is the necessity of owning a firearm? It is for self-protection. And when the government begins to tell you that they will protect you, that you do not need a firearm, you can bet your sweet behind that you do need a firearm. And you need to be protecting yourself. You know, when I see articles like a 75-year-old grandmother being, her home being broken into, and she being assaulted and tied up, and when the scumbag goes to try to break in her safe or find her money and etc., she has the wherewithal to free herself and go get her 357 Magnum. And when the perpetrator comes back upstairs, she engages him in a firefight. She is hit numerous times, but she is able to deliver a fatal round to her attacker and survive the attack. Now, I can make an assumption here, but I can almost guarantee you that the scumbag that broke in on her did not believe that 75-year-old woman had a 357 Magnum, and especially once he had subdued her, had the wherewithal to break free and engage him in a firefight, which he returned fire and hit her several times, but he apparently wasn't as good as her. And let's just be honest, it I think righteousness prevailed that day. Not only was it not her appointment with death that day, but righteousness prevailed that day, and I think we always have to give credit to that. And I think God probably protected that woman that day in the fact of, number one, allowing her the wisdom to do the things she did, including exercising her Second Amendment right to purchase and own a firearm. So you say, some may argue, some of you liberals especially may argue, are you super sensitive Christians? There are a lot of super sensitive supposed Christians out here in America today. Oh no, God wouldn't do that. You better read your Bible again. God is all about protecting righteousness by the means that are necessary for that particular time. But anyway, as we look at the number of gun laws that were presented in the Commonwealth of Virginia this year, 2024, by the leftist, democratically controlled House, if it had not been for Governor Youngkin, who I think he's a decent governor, don't get me wrong, but he's not overly conservative, I don't feel, in my opinion. But anyway, had it not been for him, vetoing most of that nonsense. He signed a few bills in law that, you know, probably did not really hurt the gun owners' rights much. The problem is when they sneak in a bill here and a bill there and it gets signed off on, before you know it, you have been over-regulated. Now, some regulation is necessary for the order of society. However, over-regulation can destroy a citizen's rights. And that's what the left and that's what the Democrats are looking to doing, is over-regulation and just absolutely taking every right that an American citizen has from him so they can control you like a robot. So the necessity of 2A is still as relevant in 2024 as it was back in the 1700s when this Constitution was written. Matter of fact, it may even be more of a necessity nowadays, since we have no law and order on the streets by most of these liberal prosecutors and liberal judges that are out there. We know we can't depend on the government to protect us, which we never should have been depending on the government anyway. We know that we can't depend on law enforcement to protect us. Why is that? Why can we not depend on law enforcement to protect us? Well, even if you're in a conservative area where law enforcement still attempt to do their job as best they can with the system that they work under, they are not omnipresent, okay? They cannot be everywhere all the time. You know, a lot of a law enforcement officer's job is reactive. They can only react to the crime after it has been committed against you. It is your responsibility to be properly equipped for any emergency that may come to you in life, but in particular for a crime of violence that would come against you as an individual, especially even more so in your home. As the adage says, a man's home is his castle. So, you know, what does every king that we see in history, what did he do with his castle? He protected it, right? He put guards out there, he put moats out there, he put drawbridges, fences, and anything else he could find to protect his castle. And that's exactly what we still need to be doing in 2024. Now, we simply, in my opinion, we don't need just a firearm to protect us. We need to take a wholehearted security approach to protecting our homes and our loved ones, which encompasses a multi-tiered security program, not just a firearm. But your Second Amendment right is essential to you and your self-protection. Because most people are not going to be in top-notch shape these days. Most people have never been in these days anyway. It wasn't when I was growing up, but nowadays most people have not been into any kind of physical encounters, fist fights even. You know, we used to have on the schoolyard all the time, and that was just part of growing up. Now the school gets locked down if two kids throw a punch or something. So if you take your physical limitations along with the fact that you've never been in a physical encounter, combined with somebody who may be aggressive in their nature, they're going to overpower you. So you need something to be the equalizer, okay? And a lot of times that equalizer is a firearm. Now, the responsibility that you have under 2A is you have the responsibility to be trained, to have the mindset that that firearm is a tool for you to use, or let me say this, it is an instrument for you to use. You're actually the tool, but you need an instrument to use to aid you in your self-protection. So you've got number one, know your rights. Number two, if you don't have a firearm and you are considering purchasing a firearm, purchase the right kind. And by that I mean purchase the weapon that fits you. A firearm is like a pair of shoes. It needs to fit you before it will be comfortable for you to use. Once you find the proper firearm to use, then what must you do? This is not an option, folks. This is not an option. And I'm not saying this because I'm a trainer. This is practical common sense. If you buy an implement to use of any kind, you have to learn how to use it. You have to train with that implement. And you have to train your brain. You have to get the mindset and practice these scenario-based training opportunities that's going to prepare you to for a violent encounter should that need ever arise. And folks, here in 2024, as society continues to degrade and go downhill with the amount of lawlessness that we are experiencing in the United States of America, the need for 2A is greater than it's ever been. The need for self-protection is greater than it's ever been. The need to change your mindset just for survival is greater than it's ever been on multi-tiers, but we're just simply talking about the Second Amendment today and the right to self-defense. So we want to prepare ourselves. Find the people in your area that can help you learn the right way to possess, own, and utilize a firearm. Again, 2A has been under assault for years now. Digressing back to the government here in Virginia, had it not been for Governor Youngkin vetoing numerous gun bills this year, it would have almost gotten to the point that gun owners in Virginia, if you wanted to remain a gun owner, you might as well just pack up and move to another state. Because that's what the Democratic legislator had in mind. If they could have gotten their way this time, just think what they're going to try again next year. And let's be honest, in Virginia, although I think he's a good governor, it was really a fluke that Governor Youngkin got elected. And we see by midterms he lost a little bit of that luster that he got elected on. I'm not saying he's not a good governor, not saying he wasn't qualified to be a governor. He is. But let's be honest, most of the time in the Commonwealth of Virginia, Northern Virginia rules the politics for the entire Commonwealth, and they are very liberal. You folks up there, you know it. The majority of you are liberal, you're left-leaning, and you, a lot of times, you just don't think with any common sense. So, for us to get another conservative governor elected here in another year or so, you know, we'll see how the national election goes this year, but even if the national election goes to the conservative side this year, I would say that we're still going to have a difficult time getting a consecutively conservative governor elected in Virginia. As any all of you know that live in the Commonwealth, our governors are only allowed to serve 1 4-year term. They can't serve consecutive terms. So, Youngkin, you're a lame duck as soon as you get elected in Virginia. So Youngkin will be on his way out after next year. And you know the Democrats are going to push as hard and hard. And I don't think, especially the Democrats in Central and Southwest and Western Virginia, are probably not as liberal as the ones in Northern Virginia and in other states. And probably a lot of Democrats throughout southwestern, western, central Virginia are gun owners, and they want to maintain their gun rights. So I'm not going to lump all Democrats totally into that pile of BS, but I will say this. There are enough extreme liberal and just fruitcake thinking people that align with the Democratic Party now and have influence in it that will probably stop us from getting a conservative governor for a second time around to be have an 8-year consecutive flow of conservatism from the executive office in Virginia. So we need to be mindful of what's coming up in Virginia, and the rest of you states do also. Of course, some of you states are already so oppressed when it comes to Second Amendment and concealed right carry. Some of you have great governors and great leadership in your constitutional carry states, and you've got it pretty decent. Of course, then you have to deal with the criminal element in Washington, D.C., trying to disarm you and take away your Second Amendment rights. So, nevertheless, on what we do on a state level, we still got to deal with the criminals up there that want to take away all of our rights, but they certainly want to take away our Second Amendment right. That way, we don't have any way to oppose them whatsoever. We're just as helpless as little lambs laying down in the pasture and can't get up. And that's what they want for America. That's what they've almost turned America into in the last 3 years. And if they had their way, they would have total control right now. Thank God we've still been able to sustain, but how much longer we can sustain, quite frankly, is anyone's guess at this moment in time as we approach the national elections in November of 2024. So, exercise your 2A rights. Go ahead, and now is the time to get your firearms if you don't own them. Get your ammunition. Get your training in. And I hate to sound as a pessimistic point of view all the time, but we are in the status of time that things are continually going to grow worse and worse. It's spoken of prophetically in the Bible. And those things that were spoken of prophetically in the Bible and spoken of by Jesus himself about the times and the season will come to pass sooner or later. It will happen because it's spoken. And I believe we are close in those times right now. So I do not anticipate things getting any better, quite frankly. I think our best hope right now is to maintain and occupy until God does make a final change. And I think those of us that are trusting in him, doing the things that we can do to help ourselves, I think we will have that level of protection. It'll be a supernatural, it'll be a miracle, but I believe it will happen. Thank you for listening to the Life Investigative Podcast today. You can contact me at patriottrainer@protonmail.com. patriottrainer@protonmail.com. If you log on to your favorite podcast providers, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, you name it. I think I'm on about 16 platforms. Plus, I have my own broadcast, lifeinvestigated.com. Subscribe and share from wherever, or even if you get the link through the Castos website, please subscribe to that and send it on to your friends. Thank you so much.